morning.
Morning.
And happy Father's Day, fathers. And I'll take that. Thank you. In fact, before we begin, could I just ask that all the dads would stand up? And whether your kids are little or your kids are grown and old and traveling the world. Okay. And if possible, there's a wife or a son or a daughter nearby, just to lay hands on these men as we pray for their blessing and anointing for this incredible task. Let's pray. You and I can pray. Father God, we do, as Merle has already prayed, Father, we thank you for these fathers. And we just want to recognize, Father, that apart from you, we can't do this. We can't be dads. We can't teach truth. We can't model the character of a living God out of our own flesh, out of our own wounds, and out of our own sins. So, Father, as men, we offer ourselves for the anointing of your Spirit to do this calling of fathers. And I thank you, Father, that even if our kids are grown and into their own adulthood, that we still have a role to play, again, by your anointing, by your calling, to still be men and speak truth and wisdom into our children's lives. And Father, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this privilege to be fathers. And we ask that your Spirit would equip us as fathers to keep growing, that we would keep comprehending more tomorrow than we understand today about what it means to bring the truth and the life and the joy of Jesus Christ into the lives of our children. And Father, that our children would see us loving their moms in ways that glorify you and give them hope for their futures. So Father, we offer ourselves as men and fathers to you, and we just very simply ask for your power and your life dwelling within us to equip us to do this well, to please you by the steps we take as fathers. Thank you for this day when we get to enjoy being honored as fathers. Thank you for our wives and our children around us. Thank you very much for the privileges you've poured into our lives, just at the joy of being dads. Thank you very much, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm almost always the first one awake in my house, and it was fun this morning to wake up and check some things and see that I already had a Father's Day greeting posted for me on Facebook from my daughter. So that was a nice beginning. Well, as I'm erasing this, we have been looking at who we are in Christ, and hopefully amazed at God's description of us as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ, amazed at the privilege of being the family of God and the dwelling place and temple of a living God. And very appropriately for Father's Day, there's something that I believe will be profitable for us to look at for a few moments this morning. If you'll look at 1 John chapter 4, not the gospel, but the letter, 1 John. I remember when I was a kid, I was always misquoting verses I was memorizing because for some reason, anything that was John was 1 John to me. So I was memorizing 1 John 3:16, et cetera, incorrectly. But 1 John chapter 4, let's start at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, by the way, I want to express again appreciation for everybody who showed up at the meeting Friday night, the family meeting for the church. And a couple of things that grew out of that, that we're looking at who we are over the last couple of weeks, and then recognizing out of that flows a direction of growth, that because of who we are, that God is calling us to grow deeper in our love for each other. God is calling us to grow deeper in our challenge and our involvement in each other's lives. God is calling us out of that depth of unity and depth of fellowship that we enjoy, that we call others, that we invite the lost to come be a part of this fellowship. So there's this command that because of who we are, we go do something deeper with each other, and we go do something more impactful in the world that flows from this relationship. And as I was praying about this, and just sort of following the flow of thought, several things came to mind. One is the recognition that I have to do what I'm experiencing. I can't do with you what I'm not actually growing in and experiencing myself. And John lays out here something that actually is repeated several times through Scripture. And we'll look at another dimension of this in a moment. That if I'm going to be more involved in loving you, if I'm going to pursue a deeper and more effective love relationship with you, I actually have to keep growing in my awareness of the love of the Father. I can't be static in that. I can't just stay where I am. In fact, so many of the Greek words behind things we're saying, and we won't take time to do an analysis of all the Greek, but that over and over again, those words involve a continuing process. That I don't just begin something, but I keep doing it. That I don't begin comprehending, I keep comprehending. I don't just learn, I keep learning. And that here John is saying that God wants us to understand something. He wants us to keep understanding the depth and the quality of his love for us, because that's what's going to actually equip and motivate us to love each other more and to actually go love the lost more. We're not always lovable. Okay, that's just plain fact. We're not always lovable. And the lost are not lovable many moments, many times, many situations. And yet somehow we're equipped and being called to actually love effectively, not just love with a belief in the doctrine of love, but to love effectively in this fellowship, and then how we impact the world. And so John's saying, pay attention to how this begins. It starts with the Father loving us. And he goes into the recognition that the expression of the Father's love, again, isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. God is not in heaven just saying, gosh, I just like them so much. I hope they do well. That the power of his love is that he did something very effective in the sacrifice of his Son. And it did what love required. It provided us a way of escape. It provided us a rescue. It provided us a doorway into sonship. It provided us the opportunity of eternal life. It provided us forgiveness for sin so that we never had to fear punishment and fear God, which is part of where he ends that passage. Stop being afraid of God. The more you comprehend his love, there's no reason to be afraid if we go receive that sacrifice. But it starts with his love for us. Now, turn back to Ephesians 4. And again, so many of these truths keep being reflected. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3. Keep being reflected back in Ephesians. So we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, but we're going to look at it again from from a slightly different angle, starting in verse 14, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And here, not surprisingly, the Holy Spirit is expressing a very similar reflective truth. That for me to be filled up with the fullness of God, for me to be equipped with power, and we'll look at where that power leads in a minute, but for me to be filled up with the fullness of God and to be equipped with power, for you to be filled up with God and equipped with power, Paul's saying he's praying for something. He's praying that we would comprehend the height and depth and breadth and length of the love of Jesus Christ. We would get more of it. And again, the Greek here implies that we keep going. We keep going. So, I remember, this being Father's Day, just this past week, working with a couple, and the mom's concerns were how harsh the father was with his boys. And that comes out in words, it comes out in attitude, it's just sort of this hard thing. And the comment the dad made when we were talking about this, he said, I'm going to teach them to be men. I'm leaving all the love stuff to mom. Now, here we have the most profound man who ever walked the planet is Jesus Christ, the express image of God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what we're told is that the love of Christ is beyond our comprehension, but we're supposed to comprehend more tomorrow than we do today, and more a year from now than we do today. And that's a thing Paul was praying would happen for them. So, Kathy, when you were expressing your prayer that you want to have ears to hear God, and we sang the song, you know, open my eyes to see, that's worth praying for. Here's Paul saying, he's talking to the Ephesians, and he's saying, I'm not content to leave this up to your study of the Word. I'm not content to leave this to whatever you're pursuing. I'm going to actually pray for something. I'm going to pray that God would grant you this to see deeper than you see today. Now, it just so happens that fits with a lot of Paul's prayers in Ephesians, where earlier he says, I'm going to pray that you will have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. I'm going to pray that. So it's worth you and I praying for ourselves and praying for each other. Father, I'm not going to just study the Word and see how much more my brain can understand. I'm not going to just ponder the philosophy of God loving me and sacrificing His Son. There's going to be an intentional pursuit here where I recognize there is a spiritual battle to be fought. And I need to be praying for myself. And I need to be praying for my brothers and sisters. And I need to ask them to be praying for me. And I'm going to hope that they're committed to pray for me. That I will grow in this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm hoping they're going to pray for me, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened, that I would understand the riches of my calling in Christ. And I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to hope that they're praying for me, that I would comprehend the dimensions of Jesus' love for me. Now, I was going to ask this at the end of the sermon, but I think I have to ask it now. Because part of this is recognition, everything I just said, we agree on as believers, is good doctrine. The Father loves me. If I comprehend that love, I will love more. But I have to ask a very practical question, which is, this week, from whatever month this is, June 19th to June 26th, over this next week, what will I do with that truth to actually pursue what He's telling me to pursue? How will I actually talk to God and ask for that greater comprehension of the love of God? How will I spend time meditating and pondering so that He has those moments for me to be enlarged in my understanding? Because here's the bottom line. What you understand about the love of God today and what I understand about the love of God today is not yet enough. God wants us to enjoy more. And it is an enjoyment. God's not saying this is some hard duty, that there's something powerful about this that will change us and keep changing us. Now, going back to that passage in Ephesians, where he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So Paul's praying for that. I get to pray that for you. You get to pray that for me. That in all the things that we're talking about as a church, that we want to move forward in going deeper in our fellowship together. We want to move forward in enjoying what we already enjoy so much. But we want more, and we want deeper, and we want richer. That this is a rare fellowship of warmth and welcome. And it really, truly is. And yet God's saying, but I want more power in that. I actually want more effective power in how you impact each other's lives, so that what you enjoy a year from now as a church is richer. And it's the riches of my glory that I'm pouring into this process. Desire this power by making a choice that you actually want and will plan and will pursue a deeper experience of the love of God. Now, this takes time. I can't just agree with the concept in a sermon. I can't even just read a verse at home and read it and agree with the concept and that be growth. I'm going to have to take time to really contemplate my life in that conversation with God. You're going to need to take time this week to actually have the father-son, father-daughter conversation where you're looking at your life and you're becoming more intentionally aware of the Father's love for you. So when Al was sharing about how he looks back in 74, an incredible fear was removed from his life. And it was because he found and was found that he entered a relationship of love with God. And now, in a sense, he had power and freedom and security to bring children in the world. And guess what? From the time before Al was a believer until the time after Al was a believer, the world didn't get any better. The world didn't get any safer for children. The world didn't get any kinder and truer. It didn't become any more supportive of godly families. All that changed was that Al now stood in a strong and powerful and safe place where he had the authority to raise godly children. And well done, by the way, despite all the challenges. Well done. And that gets to keep happening for us right in this fellowship, that we get to recognize this is meant to change things. It's meant to remove fear. I'm afraid of you, and you're afraid of me to some extent. I'm afraid that if you fully know me, you won't like me. And you're afraid that if I fully know you, I won't completely like you. And you know what? Part of that is true. There are parts of you that aren't likable. There are parts of me that are not likable. I can't make that joke. It's Father's Day. But there are parts of me that are not likable. And it's real and it's true. But the reason I can do that with fear, in the same way that Al could bring children in the world, even though the world didn't get any nicer, is because Al stood in a different place. And that's exactly what this passage is about. Is God saying, I want you standing in a different place, so you're not afraid to love the people around you. I want you standing in a safe place. I want you standing in a position of grace. I want you standing here where you are so enveloped in experiencing my love that you're now willing to risk loving that other person even when they're not likable. And you require this. You can't do this without the enjoyment of my love. So that this gets to be a willful pursuit. This is not something we leave to the women. This is something that every man, woman, and child in this room that is a believer gets to say, it's my calling to grow in experiencing that love. Now, go to Luke chapter 7. And I was just going to refer to this instead of reading it, but I think it's too important to not read it. Starting in verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. In the life of Jesus, one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. In fact, we know from other passages she was a prostitute. And when she learned, or had been, that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him, standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing him with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And the implication is, then he would pull his foot away and he wouldn't let her touch him. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, the truth is, you and I are the prostitute. Simon was the prostitute. He just didn't know. That the truth is, when Jesus said, from whom much, the one that is forgiven much loves much, and the one who's forgiven little loves little, the recognition is all of us have been forgiven much. There is no little in this equation. Nobody's going to stand in heaven before God saying, well, I did trust in Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's sort of technically true that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross saved me. But I mean, come on, look at my resume. I was this close. I was this close to making it in on my own. I just needed Jesus' help to get over the hump. No one's going to be able to say that. No one. We are all the prostitute. And when we get to recognize, how did my Father love me? He loved me so much that I'm going to be his son or his daughter for all of eternity when I deserved hell for all of eternity. And I really deserved it. I didn't just sort of technically deserve it. I didn't just deserve it on my bad days. I deserved it every day of my life. Because that's part of our growth in awareness of the grace in which we stand, is to recognize that every day of my life as a believer, and every day of your life as a believer, we still need a Savior. I've said that many times. I will say it many times more. Every day we're alive, we need a Savior. There will not be a day on planet Earth when I can say, today's the day that from the second I woke up till the second I went to sleep, when I perfectly pleased the Father, lived the life of Jesus Christ in every possible way.
You got it?
Am I falling apart? Knocking things? Oh, okay. Thanks for coming to my rescue before I wrecked thousands of dollars of equipment. Or at least hundreds. I get to recognize I have been forgiven much. If I contemplate that and understand that, the supernatural equation is that I look my Father in the face and say, I'm ready to love you much. I've been forgiven much. I'm ready to love you deeply. I've been loved deeply and forgiven deeply. I know I shared this before, but I very deeply remember, and will for the rest of my life, a moment in my life, despite all the ways I'd already grown in understanding the love of God, when I was at a spiritual workshop, and without describing the whole process of things I was thinking and things that were said to me and shared with me, of coming to that point of realizing that every moment of being loved from every source, all the love my mom had shown me, all the love my dad showed me when he was available, all that friends and family and churches had poured into my life, every moment of care, every moment of provision, every moment when I was blessed and protected and provided for, that God was saying, Reg, that was all me, every second of the day, every day. That was all me loving you. And I loved you that way when you didn't deserve it. I loved you that way when you were my enemy. And then I set out to accomplish your rescue, and I want you to understand this love so that you stay close to me. If we're going to grow as a church, and we will, if we're going to grow deeper in loving each other, and we will, if we're going to grow deeper in the impact we have in our community and bringing the lost to know the one that loves us, and for them to become jealous to enjoy that love, and we will. The core of this, he's saying, is you've got to comprehend my love for you more today than you did yesterday and more tomorrow than you do today. And you've got to willfully, gladly pursue it. Don't settle for what you know. Do not settle for what you know. And don't leave it to the women. And don't leave it to the pastor. And don't leave it to somebody else. Pursue this for yourself. That there's a joyful pursuit here of, I want to know the Father's love more than I do. And it's going to grant me power. It's going to grant me wisdom and revelation. It's going to grant me effectiveness. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And again, we saw him end with these words. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So again, he's just been saying, grow in this love, grow in comprehending this love, and your inner life will be strengthened with power. And this power can accomplish more than we were to ask or think. And this power will bless the church and give glory to God. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, because of what he just said, because of this incredible truth and this calling to grow deeper in comprehending the love of God, and because of our growth in recognizing that comprehending that love grants me power, that's a supernatural process, what comes next is now possible. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. So what Paul is getting to here is that this calling is possible with power because we're growing to comprehend the love of God in this multidimensional vision, that the love we discover will always be larger than what we understand. There will always be more to explore and understand. And that gets to be real clearly in our minds. We're not just talking about our church, as we tried to clarify Friday, we're not talking about our church having more programs. We may have more programs. That's not the point. We're not about talking about our church having more meetings. Although we may have more meetings, and that's not the point. The point is that we want to grow in comprehending the love of God, and then it's going to compel us to do the work of love and the work of unity and the work of growth. And it will make sense to us to love each other. The more I understand how God loved me, the more it makes sense to love you. The more I understand how the Father has forgiven me, the more it actually makes sense in the universe to forgive you. And the less I grow in that, the harder it is to see why it would make sense. But it really does make sense. It really makes sense to love you. It really makes sense to forgive you. It really makes sense to be patient and to be tolerant of one another. It really makes sense to encourage and nourish each other. It really does make sense. If
I'm dwelling in and growing in my comprehension of the love of the Father. This makes sense.
It's doable.
And it's a pursuit of joy, again, not a pursuit of duty. It's a pursuit of joy. It makes sense. Now, just because it's Father's Day, the whole time while I was preparing the sermon, it just kept running through my mind that part of our calling as fathers, in fact, I would say the central calling for us as fathers, is that we're growing and reflecting the Father's love and the qualities of Father's love into lives of our children. And we won't do it perfectly. But that our calling and our equipping is that my daughter should understand something real about the grace of God. My daughter should understand something real about the forgiveness of God. She should understand something real about the unbroken compassion that the Father has. She should understand something about the safety and security of being able to come to the Father, even when she sins. She should be knowing that it's always safe to be in the presence of her Father, because I showed her that it was always safe to be in my presence. That's my calling as a father. That's your calling as a father. And again, the more I am embedded in my own enjoyment of the love of the Father, the more sense my calling will make, and the more power and equipping I have to do that calling as a father. I'm not being asked to do something without seeing it. In fact, just the opposite. God's saying, you can't do it if you don't see it. Come see it. Come enjoy it. Come taste it. Come find out that it's good. Come find out that it's real. And then reflect it to your wife, to your children. But that's true for all of us as believers. That this calling to come enjoy the love of the Father is true for all of us. It's present for all of us. I am getting ready to accomplish a living miracle in your view. It's not 12 o'clock and we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you for this calling, because it's a doable calling. You never command us and then leave us floundering without the ability to pursue it. And Father, the calling for this comes with the equipping that you already love us this way. We don't have to go make it so. We don't have to beg you to make it so. It's so. Father, it's just true. You love us with this depth and quality and perfection of unconditional love. You grant us perfect grace, perfect forgiveness, perfect freedom to come boldly into your presence 24/7. You grant us the freedom from shame, knowing that our sins will never be brought against us again. You grant us the certainty that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we now sit in Christ at your right hand in the position of sons and daughters, and that we will reign with you as sons and daughters for all of eternity. And none of this did we deserve. Father, all of it flows from your love. And right now today, Father, more than we can count, our day will be filled with a multitude of ways that you're loving us real practically right here on planet Earth. That the fellowship of fellow believers, the freedom to worship your word, to worship you and teach your word, the freedom to pray in public without fear of imprisonment, Father, the freedom to love each other and care for each other, the freedom to celebrate this day with family and friends, the freedom to have a week where all through the week we can be confident that every day you've prepared what we need. Every day you've prepared wisdom and spiritual blessing. Father, there will not be a second this week when your Father's love has not gone ahead and prepared the way for us. Your love is real, Father. And we're not finished understanding it. And I thank you that as we grow in understanding it, Father, that we will be equipped to love each other with great power. Father, I pray that for me personally this week, and for each of us personally this week, there will be an actual priority of pondering and meditating on the depth and quality of your love for us. That we'll agree with you that we're equipped to do more because we comprehend more and enjoy more of your love. You've told us to abide in you, to let your words abide in us. You've told us to abide in your love. You've told us to keep your commandments as a way of showing that we're abiding in your love. And then you've promised us that this abiding in your love will make us more fruitful and will strengthen and increase our joy. Father, we look forward to both of those. We will pursue your love. And we look forward and thank you ahead of time for greater fruitfulness and greater joy. In Jesus' name.